So I want to start it out differently today.
Yeah.
I want to start out by thanking our Patreon supporters at the beginning instead of at the end. So that means you're going to have to know who you're going to recommend or what you're going to recommend because you're not going to have extra time at the end.
I'm ready.
All right. Who would have thought? Okay. Well, big thanks. Big thanks. I'm ready too. That's why I'm doing big thanks to our Patreon supporters because they're awesome. There's a lot of people that help us out over at patreon.com/makingit to support the show. And recently, you know, like always happens, we've had some people change their contribution or have to cut it off. And they always send us really nice, sometimes they send us really nice emails explaining why. Don't need to do that. We're grateful for any support, whether it's temporary, long-term, little bit, lot, whatever. We're grateful. And the top people that help us out over there, help us out at the highest level are Albers Woodworks, Jenny and Davis, Odin Leather Goods, You Can Make This Too, Blondie Hacks, Fun Kiss Artistic Creations, Maker in Training, Chad from Mancrafting, Works by Solo, and Corey Ward. But there's a whole big list of other people who are also awesome, and we're grateful. Those people all get the after show, which is more of us talking after this show, which is why we call it the after show.
Ooh, makes sense.
Pick that up, but you know, we worked really hard on that title. So that's there. It's a separate feed in case anybody wants it. You just, once you log on to Patreon, you get the feed for it. You can put it in your podcast player. So anyway, I just wanted to start out the show thanking them today.
Thank you.
Doing it at the end.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Very grateful. So we're all stuck in the house, I assume.
Yeah.
Like everybody else. What have you guys been up to?
I've been hanging around the farm. It's going into spring, so it's spring cleanup for me. It's actually so refreshing to be outside and not have like my wig blown off or me, like if, a common occurrence out here because my house is like high up on a hill and it's like my house is like one of the highest houses in the area. So the wind is the strongest wind gust in the area. I don't have any big buildings around me. So the wind just comes across the plains and there have been several times that I'm chasing my favorite hat. Full speed in like 2 feet of snow trying to catch my hat before it goes into oblivion, which would be like deep down in the field, which was like a couple of hundred yards run down in the deep field where the grass is never cut. So I'm just happy that I don't have to keep chasing my wig down the plane. So yeah.
Do you actually have a favorite hat?
Oh, I do. Like right now I'm wearing a Filson hat right now. I usually get these like waxed Filson hats. I used to wear my logo all the time, but now I just wear like a plain hat. So I go through them like once like I'll retire this. Like one day I'll be inspired. I'll see it. Oh, somebody will send me a hat and be like, oh, I'll put that on. And then that stays on my head for like 6 months. And then it blows off.
So when you retire them, do you go stand outside and just like let go of it and the wind takes it and just lets it fly away?
Ah, that's great.
Yep. That'd be awesome. A little ceremony. So goodbye, hat.
You know, it's not a good ritual, like a good springtime ritual that I do every March is I walk up and down with, you know, those grabby things that you get from Tractor Supply. You pick up so you don't have to bend over. So me and sometimes Taylor, but this time it was Aaron. We walked up and down my property, which is a couple thousand feet on the westerly facing road, and just pick up bottles, cans, any piece of debris that blew from the county that stuck against my bushes. Like literally anything from the entire county west of me sticks and blows across my property. Because for a few big giant pieces of property, my house is the first house that like has something for the garbage to stop against, trees, bushes and stuff. So we go out there, we'll fill up two full garbage bags of things that are just like stuck in the weeds on the side of my house. And so that's sort of like a rite of passage into spring for us. And I bought a tractor at the end of the summer last year, actually in the fall. So I only got a chance to play with it a little bit. So this weekend I played a lot with getting the tractor up and going. I changed the battery and the oil and a few other things in it. And I had fun with the tractor. Oh, you guys will be happy to know. Look what's right in front of me. I see. Have we talked about this?
Oh yeah, I saw your story.
Can anybody guess?
There was no warning. That just happened suddenly and fast.
Can anybody guess what that is?
I was going to try to respond with an Italian word to, you know, keep the theme going, but I can't think of any because that surprised me so much.
What is bellissimo? I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
I think
Cool.
I think your mic is freaked out. Now you're all quiet.
Oh, no. Really? I overmodulated
oh, there
my
it goes. Mic. Oh, it's back. There you go.
Oh, okay. I limit switched it. Yeah, so I've been playing around with the trumpet for the last, like, 5 days. It's so funny because I was in the shop last week. This trumpet has been around for 10 years. When we did the show Dirty Money, we got this trumpet through, like, the ins and outs of that show. We got it for free. And it's been sitting around in my life. And so I always in my mind, like, oh, I wish I could pick that up and play it, but I don't have the time, or, you know, I'm too old, or, you know, whatever, a million excuses. And then when we talked about it, several fans were super nice and sent me lesson plans, or I am a teacher and I will teach you. I live in the, you know, the upstate area. And so I got a lot of good responses. So thank you to all those guys. And about 4 or 5 days ago, we were in the shop late and I saw the box sitting there and I picked it up. I opened it and I just started blowing on it. I just kept changing my lips and kept trying to get it right. And then I slowly started getting it right. And I got to warm up, but I can actually make some, like, reasonable sounds. And then you guys are going to laugh. When I drive my car late at night, occasionally I go to Taylor's studio or she comes here or I'm driving. I keep the horn in the car and I practice in the car while I'm driving. Mm-hmm. One hand on the steering wheel, one hand on the horn. The entire time, all I'm trying to do is hold the note. So I'm blowing as hard as I can. And then, like, every few minutes, I got to be like, I don't want to, like, go dizzy and drive into the street.
Do the British siren, like the police siren, and just drive down the road just doing
Well, it's funny. I'm learning when you blow into it, obviously trying to make a sound is very difficult in and of itself. But when you blow into it, when you push the keys, you're changing your air pressure. So immediately you're, like, blowing it all. Like, you're going... So the tones constantly change. So just trying to work through those basic things is really all I'm doing right now. I actually started last night. I found the Mexican hat dance, and I've been slowing it down, watching the keystrokes. Like, I slowed it down to 25% on YouTube, so I'm watching it back and watching it back. Watching what the fingers do. So I figured that would be a good starting point. So if I can get through, like, those first 6 or 8 notes, and just practice that, and then go to the next 5 or 6 notes. So,
So I give you a little advice. I played trumpet for a long time. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure, like, if you're trying to hold those notes, it's your tendency will be to keep all the air in the upper part of your chest and in your mouth and blow out of that. But the thing that really helps you be a good trumpet player or brass player of any kind is to, when you breathe in, push your stomach out. Breathe down into your diaphragm, fill up lower, and that's just a way to think about it. You fill up lower, and then as you're breathing, you're pushing with your stomach muscles. And so rather than trying to keep it up here up top, you breathe lower.
Okay.
And you'll have a lot more control over, and a lot more air overall. But when you breathe high, you lift your shoulders, you tense up, and you actually constrict the amount of volume you have.
Yeah, I realize I'm only, like, getting, like, you know, bursts of air and not, like, long things. Yeah. I figured in time I'd figure out how to do that, but that's great advice.
Yeah, it takes some practice just to get your body into breathing. And the same for running. You want to try to breathe low instead of high. But just think about that while you're doing it. It might help a little bit.
So that's cool. So my Instagram stories show me goofing around with the turkey every time I blow the turkey. And then me and Aaron were working on the CNC machine, and Rob Rojas, who's been hanging around the shop, he's a local guy who's been helping us out with stuff. He helped out with the drill press restoration. We were hanging out, cutting some plasma stuff yesterday and just having fun in the big new barn. And I was just blowing on the horn for fun. Just because every time I'm in, like, a big empty space and no one's around, I just, like, make as much noise as possible. It's great.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Or in the car. It's great. Where? I learned that years ago. I read a book by Steve Martin, the comedian, and he said when he was a kid he wanted to learn the banjo obsessively. He was into the banjo, and he couldn't play in the house because his parents were like, get that thing out of here. So he would sit in his car. So he gave that advice. He said, you want to play an instrument? Just sit in your car. It's a quiet place. No one's there to bug you. You can go crazy. You can act like a fool. And so based on Steve Martin's advice, I brought the horn into the car, and driving back and forth from the shop to the house, I'm always just, like, picking it up and exercising my lips and my air.
Good book, by the way.
It's a great book.
Born Standing Up.
Yep. Besides that, I made the we're doing a little fundraiser for the Jesse Combs Foundation, which is to raise money for girls in making and teaching girls how to get involved in welding and making machines and stuff. And Jesse passed away last summer in a car wreck when she was trying to create the land speed record. And so a couple friends of hers put together this thing, and I was invited to be part of it. And so I was proud to say that I did my frame this week, and that's the latest video that's up on my channel. Everybody was given a picture by Mark Adams. And if you've if anybody out there has been to any of the events like Maker Camp or actually the Maker Camp here in Catskills or the Spring Make event in Cleveland, Mark is a Cleveland maker and photographer who takes pictures of everybody. And he's created a great, it's like kind of the glue because everybody hangs around the Seamless waiting to get their picture taken and people jumping in and out with each other. And so last April, Mark took hundreds of pictures of everybody and tens of pictures of Jesse with people alone. And, you know, who would have known that those pictures would be kind of, you know, one of the last documents of her as, you know, who she was and the personality you could see on the Seamless. And so he said, let's take those pictures and each maker gets a frame, gets a picture, and then you make a frame for it. And those frames will be auctioned off, of course, with the pictures in them. So that's just a little fundraiser that's happening. So I'll give more details at the end. I'll look up the exact website by the end of the show.
So over the weekend, Jimmy, he's got the trumpet propped up and ready to go. Yeah, I was bracing myself. I pretty much finished the main chassis of the go-kart build.
Sweet.
I'm nervous. I'm so nervous here.
Yeah, there's a poise to trumpet. No, he's muted.
I'm on mute. I won't do it again.
So we got the main chassis of the go-kart build all welded together. There's still a lot more to go. There's a bunch of little tabs to hold body work and things to hold the axle and bumpers and Nerf bars and stuff. But the main part is all together. All the anxiety of like putting it off and am I going to do this right? It was all for nothing. It all worked out great. The only piece that I messed up was a straight piece that's about 3 inches long. I put the tube notch in too close, and it ruined the length. And so the only piece that I had to replace and do over again was a 3-inch piece of straight tube. But everything else bent perfectly fine. Yeah, I'm so thrilled with myself. I think the weld came out pretty good. It's a little tricky to get really good, beautiful looking weld going around tube because that's a movement that's hard to get used to. But it's not about being pretty. It's just about getting the penetration and a good solid joint. So super excited about that. So I'm actually putting the old go-kart back together so I can reference things and work on how I'm going to work out the steering and the spindles and stuff. And I just found myself in the garage by myself. My iPad died, so then I didn't have any entertainment, but it didn't bother me. I was just quiet, alone in the garage for hours, just really, really enjoying it. It kind of reminded me when I first got into woodworking. I'm like, I just want to be out in the shop and do this. So that was really fun. My pick of the week is going to be this channel called the Fabrication Series. And this guy, he's got 301,000 subscribers, and he's got some really, really good videos on tube bending. And he notches tube without a tube notcher. He does it with an angle grinder, but he's got the best tube bending tutorials on YouTube. And so when it comes time for me to do my video, I'm going to do like the bird's eye view and then just send everybody to this guy because he's already explained it better than what I can. So it's a really good channel. And I want to thank all the people that gave me advice on the stained glass stuff. It looks like the main issue that I had was the tip in my soldering iron. And some people suggested you're going to have a lot easier time if you get a soldering iron just for stained glass. So I did. It's got the bigger tip. I haven't used it yet, but thank you for all the people for that great advice. Because I think it's only going to get easier from here on out.
And then another tip of piece of advice is, instead of using the small tip, use the fat part of the soldering iron. Just have the, you could even just cut it blunt.
Oh, really?
You know, so yeah. The tip is pointy.
Yeah.
Just cut it blunt. Cut it back to like the fat diameter of the actual pointed tip, and then you got to heat up more solder at once to get it to flow.
Gotcha. And that makes a lot of sense. And is anything else going on? I put out a dog bed video a few days ago where we took a piece of plywood and made like 100 kerf cuts in it and bent it around some legs, and it came out pretty good. The dogs enjoy it. Weans has already pooped on it.
There you go.
That's a sign of approval.
Weans is, he's going to be 16 in a couple months.
Wow.
He doesn't know when he's going to poop. It just happens. So this is a thing we've been dealing with for a couple of years now. Oh, boy. We learned this because he used to sleep in the bed, and we learned this the hard way that he has a problem. Yeah. So you don't even get upset. You're just like, oh, it's okay, buddy. And then, because at first, for a couple of years, he would just look at you like, I'm sorry, I don't know what's happening, what's going on. But now he's just like, he'll be walking and turds will just fall out of him. He'll just keep walking.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Our old lab, who we lost last year, had the same kind of thing. Yeah, you feel bad for him. At least, because with labs, I mean, they're the only, labs are really like pleasers. Like, they look at you and they want you to be happy with them, and they want you to, I think more so than most dogs, but maybe not. But man, she just, you could tell she felt so bad. She was like, I just can't help myself. it was tough to watch. Hard to be mad at her though. She's too cute.
Yes. So that's what's going on over here.
I've always wanted to try the kerf bending, like cutting all those, and I've never really had a good reason to do that. I've seen both of you do it. I've seen a lot of other people do it, but I've never come up with like a really good project for that. So
Adam talked about it recently on Tested. So if you guys get a chance to see, he did the poker table build. Mm. And he didn't actually do it in the video, but he showed pieces that he had kerfed.
Mm. So that means I can't do it for another 6 months or a year or so.
No, it's a perfect time to do it, because then you can say,
look, I love this. That's not how it works with my videos. I don't know why. That's not how it works. But, yeah, anyway. So, this past week, I did a couple of things. It was kind of interesting. We got a call from a video game company, not something I would typically work with, but it was kind of a big one, and they wanted a prop from the game to celebrate kind of an anniversary. So, they wanted this helmet, and so I decided, instead of just making a normal prop helmet, I wanted to make it into a functional welding helmet. So I just found a replacement polycarbonate lens, like a fixed shade lens, and then made this helmet and then put the lens inside of it and got it bent to follow the curve of the thing. What? And it totally works.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's the silliest looking welding helmet probably you would ever wear. And it doesn't cover your chin, so you have to wear like a bandana or something to get actual. But, and I tried to point that out in the video, that it's, it's just to see if I can do it, not because you would actually use it. But anyway, so we shot that really quickly last week, which was kind of weird. The project showed up really quickly, and we were able to just jump in and knock it out, and it basically took like 2 days. So that was pretty cool. And then on Thursday, Joel Berry came to my house. And so you guys have probably heard me talk about him in the past. He has a company called Sweet Tea Films, and he has a YouTube channel where he does comedy and all that. He has a couple different characters, and they're really, really funny. So ever since I mentioned him on here a while back, somebody sent that to him, and then we started chatting and got to know each other a little bit. And so we've been talking about doing videos together. And so he came out this past week for like 24 hours and kind of just ahead of all the travel being cut off. And so we shot stuff, had a blast, shot some stuff for his channel, for our channel, a bunch of Instagram stuff. And we had a really, really good time. And then he turned around and went right back. So it's been an interesting week in the shop, regardless of all the interesting stuff that's happening out of the shop. We had a lot of fun with that, though, so hopefully that'll be coming out soon. Get all that edited together.
I have a question before we hop into a topic. You mentioned welding, and over the weekend, I found my technique got a lot better when I took the glove off of my trigger hand. And because I'll see a lot of people on YouTube weld without gloves. I'm like, oh, maybe it's not so bad. I don't want to promote unsafe habits, bad habits, but I just got so much more control when I took that glove off. Do you guys find yourself taking your gloves off to get a little bit more control when you need to? Or maybe my gloves are too big and they don't fit right, but that was...
You can get gloves. There's a company called Tillman. They make these really thin TIG welding gloves. Mm-hmm. And TIG welding gloves are acceptable, I think, for regular welding.
Okay.
And they're much more daintier because you're expected to have more control of your fingers with a TIG welding glove. And usually, I haven't seen what you're using, but those welding gloves that sometimes Lincoln makes them, and they're just so bulky. So yeah. Check out like a pair of just TIG welding gloves. They're usually softer. They're made usually like out of deer skin, something that's a little bit more dainty. And
okay.
You can get a pair that fits tight. You know, if you have a welding shop nearby, try them on.
The only problem with those, because I have some TIG gloves as well that are much more comfortable to use. The only problem is that they are like gloves. They go up to your wrist. You know, they don't go past like a mm-hmm. MIG glove would. So you have to cover that gap there between your sleeve and your wrist. But
actually, Tillman, the pair that Tillman makes always have the gauntlet on it.
Oh, nice.
They always come up. Awesome. They always pull up. And they cover the end of your sleeve. Tillman makes these really soft, nice gloves.
I'm gonna look those up.
And like any time I've been like at an event, or not an event, but say, for instance, like me and JD, every time I've done a project with JD or anybody else, they always end up buying like six pairs of them. Like when we did the classes here, we ended up getting like you could buy them in pairs of like 20 at a time. Because they're so dainty, and you are doing metal work and grinding in between, the fingertips sometimes wear holes in them. So you could buy them like 10 pair at a time. You know, so like usually the pairs get retired into just work gloves as opposed to just welding gloves.
Hmm.
Because they start getting holes in them.
I think that's going to...
You can get them...
It's going to go on my list.
With like a 4-inch cuff on them. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, the ones I have are much shorter, but I like those. Cool. Well, we talked about it beforehand, about what we should kind of try to chat about today. And everybody should be locked at home right now, trying to spend some time on their own. And so that means a lot of people are, I don't want to say stuck in their shops. They have time to go into their shops more than they normally do. And
my buddy Danny, we talked last night, he's a PhD biologist, and he knows a little, he has like kind of the inside track on what's going on in the news. And he said to me, he goes, this has got to be your dream come true. No one's coming to bother you. You don't have anywhere to go. You have every excuse to avoid every social interaction that you're supposed to do. Because you must be just like loving this. I just laughed. I'm like, I didn't stop to think about it, but now that you said it, I am. So, yeah. It's a good time to hunker down and do a lot of things you've been avoiding.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about, you know, the spring cleaning on the farm and stuff. I saw, actually, Aaron from Mr. Fix-It posted a list of all the spring cleaning things that you should do to your house that most people just tend to avoid. It's like an awesome time to just clean out your gutters and to, you know, change out your furnace filter. And he had a big list of things. It was really good list of things.
It's a great podcast, by the way. Aaron's homeschooled.
Yeah. So I thought it would be interesting, we thought it would be interesting to just talk about some stuff that you can do with your time that's productive, even if you can't go out and, you know, buy materials for new projects, or if you don't want to, you know, risk the money on it, or you just can't get out and get it. Everybody's going to have different materials with them, obviously, so we can't really rely on that. But it would be cool to talk about just some ways that you can fill your time and be productive, keep your mind busy while we're kind of waiting this out. So... I know for me personally, I'm in a position to where the only people that work with me only work with me. And so, you know, it probably won't change, this whole situation probably won't change our daily stuff, at least for now. So we're kind of business as usual. You guys both are pretty much on your own all the time. So I would imagine you're kind of business as usual, other than getting materials. But I know for me,
well, I was supposed to go to New York tomorrow, so I'm not going.
Oh,
I'm calling that off. I was supposed to go to my, I go every 6 month doctor visit, and that was tomorrow. I'll move it, see what happens later.
But for me, I know there's a bunch of stuff that I need to design, a lot of fusion work, that stuff I've just been, you know, like the A-frame that I've talked about for a while, I keep thinking like I should really start digging into Fusion and just, I know I'm not going to get that design right. I'm not going to get the construction correct, but I have to start somewhere, learn what I need to figure out, and then scrap it and start over and do that probably several times. But I need to start that. And because those first iterations of that big project, I know we're going to be wrong. It's always been kind of hard for me to justify the time to jump in and do, you know, step one, because it's like, I know I'm going to throw step one away and probably step 10. So it's just hard to justify the time. But now it's like, well, I should just sit down and do step one because I have the time because I'm going to be here. You know, it's a little bit different, I think, for those of us that are home with kids that are not used to being home so much. You know, we're going to have to end up occupying a lot more time for them than...
At this point, every school is closed, right? Like across the country, it seems like. Every restaurant?
I honestly don't know.
Is it that far gone?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I know for us locally, it is. So, you know,
they closed New York City schools.
Yeah.
I was supposed to do career day this week. That's closed.
Yeah.
In a local school here in New York, upstate.
It's been interesting. There's a bunch of really cool... education opportunities that have opened up in the last few days because of this, because so many schools are closed. A lot of companies who do who offer different services around education have opened up what they do for free. I heard something about, I think it's Zoom is one of the video conferencing softwares that opened up for free use so that teachers can log on. And I think you can have up to like 30 people in the chat. So teachers can run class, like full classes online through the service for free. Like, that's awesome. Khan Academy opened up a whole bunch of stuff that they didn't have. What is it?
Can I say a funny story? One of those services, I don't know which one, but one of those services, and this could have even been in a different country, that offered classes online, all the students learned that if you one star the app, it would get removed from the app store.
Oh yeah, I think that was in China. It was like the homework app that they got to do all their work from home. Yeah,
kids are brilliant. All right, sorry, go on.
But I was saying that because there's a bunch of services that have opened up for students, but at the same time that makes those things available for everyone, and so there may be a lot of learning opportunities that you didn't have last week that now you can have for free while you're at home, you know, in just sitting around doing nothing. So I think a bunch of things have opened up to give us ways to make this time productive while we're at home. And I know for me, designing is probably going to be the biggest part of it. But what are you thinking here?
I think this could work great if you have kids, but start playing with recyclables and scraps and cardboard and paper, whatever you have, and make scale models of things that you may want to make in the future. It could be a great like little paper craft or cardboard craft thing that could just be a cool little piece of art or just a little knickknack display thing when you're done. And if you have kids, you know, they can be cutting up construction paper, recyclables and whatever, and doing the same thing. And it just might be a great way to just playing off your learning design software, just learning the physical design of objects you may want to make in the future.
Yeah, that's a good point. And especially if you're all going to have a bunch of extra Amazon boxes showing up in the next couple weeks that you don't normally have.
Yep.
Jimmy, what do you have? I know you've always got a million ideas to fill, like, idle hands.
Well, I got a mini split air conditioning unit from Mr. Cool that I have to install. So that's been sitting on a pallet. So last night we finally dragged it in. I'm going to put it in the machine shop. So I dragged it over there. So we're going to start working on that. That's a little bit of a video vlog entry. So we got to start working on that. We have this one space, which we joked, I haven't seen the show Stranger Things, but we have a place in my shop, which is my building used to be a factory. So my little segment is an offshoot addition to the big factory, and they made a tunnel that connects my building to in the 70s, they made a tunnel that connects my building to the main factory. And the tunnel is like, I don't know, it's like maybe 30 by 40 feet. It's a sizable, the floor's uneven, the ceiling leaks. So we would just throw stuff in it. We called it the Upside Down from Stranger Things, which I've never seen, but Taylor and Brett call it the Upside Down. So everybody now just calls it the Upside Down. And my friend Mike goes, Where'd you get that name? Like, he never isn't even watch TV. I'm like, I don't know, some TV, some nerd TV show.
I don't know. You should watch so, that show. It's a really good show.
It's really good.
And so, Mike has been giving me a hand, and we're going to start cleaning that out. I mean, he's actually done it. I just told him what to do. So thank you, Mike. We're cleaning out the upside down, getting that prepared. It's all going into spring cleaning. And that little space between my building and the Bain factory, there's plenty of space to like park three cars, which since I've gotten the building or since I've rented the space, it's just been a pile of junk. So we're going to clean it out. We're going to spring clean all the building materials left over from the building. There's all kinds of equipment left over. That's good stuff. Paid a lot of money for it, but I don't have anywhere to put it. So we're going to basically create an open junkyard, an organized open junkyard between my building and the main building that I rent from. And the upside down, which is the band in between. We've done a great job creating space, getting rid of stuff, and just hunkering down. And like I said, I'm canceling my trip to the city tomorrow. Oh, I'm just not going to go. And just it feels like a snowstorm. Like that, like when there's a snowstorm and you're all just stuck around doing nothing. I got a lot to edit. You know, my vlogs have been much more far in between, and I have got great footage of me hanging out with my dad about a month ago. So that's going to be my vlog interstitials of me and my dad, interactions with my dad. So I'm really excited to put that next vlog together. Just keeping busy, you know, going through my notebook and just seeing things that I got to build. I owe a good buddy of mine a computer. He's actually he's a musician just like you guys are. It's like a passion for him. He has his mixing stations and his computer stations. I'm building him a computer audio engineering desk. So that'll be my next video. I'll do that this week. So I was talking to him last night about some of the details, how it's going to fit into his apartment. Needs to dismantle because it has to get into the elevator of his building and then into his apartment. So there's some parameters there. So I'm going to work on that. It's just a good time to not have any distractions. Obviously, all of our trips are getting canceled, at least postponed. So it's nice to know that I don't have to like squeeze in 3 days build here, go away for 4 days, come back, and then finish that build. And, you know, it's actually quite refreshing because every year we always say, I'm not going to go away this year as much as I did last year. And then all of a sudden it gets right into it. You're like, okay, I'll do that. Oh, okay, that's only one day here. Okay, I'll do that. I was actually supposed to go to, Jacksonville, Mississippi. I think, is it Jackson, Mississippi?
Yeah, Jackson.
Anyway, I think it's Mississippi or Alabama. Clark, I love you. My buddy Clark was going to host a iron casting. He did host it. I didn't go, but it wasn't because of the virus that I didn't go. It was because my schedule was so jammed up because I was supposed to go somewhere in the next couple of days. Everything got mushed off and canceled. So just focus and just work on me and Aaron were talking last night. We're going to maybe get some more chickens. We're going to kind of partner up on taking care of the new chickens. We're going to try and raise about another 20 chickens. Aaron wants to get involved with the chickens. He's like, if I buy a couple, will it become like buy as many as you want? Let's buy 20, 25. We'll raise them in the barn, you know, in like a little warm area in the barn. We'll keep the floor on. The new barn's got the heated floor. And, you know, this between March and April, like last time it went down to 28 degrees, which is crazy because a few nights before it was, you know, still in the 40s until the evening. So it's this volatile weather right now. Learning my trumpet, practicing my trumpet.
Yeah,
it's good
we
time.
Know that.
Figured if everyone's quarantined, I could practice my Mexican hat dance. Yeah. So it's I was going to try and surprise everybody with the trumpet, by the way. I was going to practice behind the scenes and just, yeah. I was going to try and surprise everybody, but then like come out and be like, hey guys, I got something to show you. And I was going to play like a song, you know, like my recital. I was going to be my coming out as a trumpet player. But yesterday when I was playing, Rob was Instagramming me playing around. And so he blew my cover.
Well, you know, it's still being able to show off an actual song after progress, you know, along the way is still really cool to see.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Now would be a great time to make drawer organizers, organize your shop or your kitchen or your studio or whatever. And I was trying to think of, maybe you guys can help me here, but is there a way to make formed, maybe like tool holders, like a place to put your chisels without a CNC and without that Kaizen foam or whatever that stuff is called? Like, could you take cardboard and make some sort of paper mache type thing with tools? Go ahead, yeah. Jimmy.
You know, what you could do is you could, instead of Kaizen foam, if you have a bandsaw or a drill press, over the years, anytime I've organized chisels, I've taken like a 2x4 at the very least and just drilled a bunch of, you know, 1¼-inch holes, or however big your handles are. And then it's just each individual thing is ready to grab, pick up, mm-hmm. ready to grab. You put the chisels back in, they all face up. That's kind of what I've done for lathe work. And then in the past, I've done little tool layouts with, instead of Kaizen foam, it might be plywood, because you only need 3/4 inch to keep the tool from rolling away. It doesn't need to be completely immersed in it. And you just bandsaw out the shapes of the tools, or jigsaw out them, scroll saw them out.
It would be kind of ridiculous and kind of expensive, but you could make a leather, you know, like you can form leather around something just by keeping it wet and pressing it around. So maybe if you had some specific thing, obviously you wouldn't want to make, like, you know, screwdriver holders with leather inserts in your...
Could you do that with your 90s leather bomber jacket?
Yeah.
Or,
You couldn't. As long as it's leather. If it's, like, the pleathery stuff with, you know, felt backing, probably not. But, so I had a couple of things. Like, one, people ask us all the time about making videos. Like... all the time.
Ooh,
every time we're at a place, they're like, but I don't know how to do this, or when should I do this, or I'm not sure what style. Guess what? You're home with a phone and a lot of free time. So shoot a video. If it's something you've been interested in, shoot a video. And if you scrap it, at least you've learned how to do it. But my advice around videos is always to shoot the first one with the intention of not putting it out, because then it takes the pressure off. You get to experiment, you get to try stuff, and there's no pressure of, like, it has to be good or your time has, you know, been wasted. So just, if that's something you're interested in, this is a great time to give it a shot and learn about the process, learn about what you want to do, what you don't want to do, what you like about it, what you don't like about it. And then if you still continue to have free time, you could go back and shoot, you know, like, try to actually shoot a video, if that's something you're into. I'm not trying to promote that, but a lot of people ask about it.
When I was... on set for Make 48 last weekend, there was I was hanging out with Zyla Fox, and she was my co-host. She's got a YouTube channel. You should check her out. She just built a canoe. Anyway, Zyla said, oh, she edits on the phone using a product called Rush, which is a my cats are underneath the table making noise with the plates.
Rearranging the furniture.
That's what the trumpet's for, man.
They hate it. They all go running.
I'm blowing that trumpet.
What is the product's called? Rush? It's a Adobe product for the phone? Or it's like a small editing program. Hmm. And I don't know if it's for the phone, but she suggested it. And I just signed into my Adobe suite and I downloaded it. So it was there. Hmm. And it's called Rush. And it's got a symbol RU when you download it. And you could edit on your phone. So while I was there, I just was playing around editing on the phone. And it's very intuitive. I figured it out in a few minutes. It's got transitions. It's got everything. You could probably edit a full length movie on it if you had the patience to watch your timeline through a 3-inch window. But yeah.
Another thing unrelated to what you just said is, so my kids get the Kiwi crates, KiwiCo crates. We've gotten them for a long time, and they've sponsored a couple videos, but we have paid for them for a very long time. I have 4 kids, which means we get 4 crates every month. My daughter rarely actually does them. She just is interested in 1,000 things, so she doesn't do the crates. So I realized yesterday we were kind of cleaning up a room, making a spot for our temporary school setup to go, and I realized that I had probably, I think it was like 11 or 12 of these crates that were unopened, that were just there. And so I put on Facebook, like, a picture of them. I said the age range, and I'll, like, you know, if you have kids that are looking for something to do, like, these are free crates, let me know, I'll drop them off. And they were all gone yesterday. The cool thing there is that it got me thinking more about the crates, and so I went and looked on the website, because I remembered that, excuse me, not only do they have crates for kids, they've been changing it now. And so now they have 2 subscription packages. This is not sponsored, by the way, just they have 2 that are for adults. And so they have all the way down from like 0 to 24 month crates, up in like 2 to 4, 5 to 8, 6 to 11, whatever. And they go all the way up. And then the top 2 are Eureka and Maker crates. And these are ages 14 to 104. So as long as you're under 104, it's legally okay for you to get this crate. Now, obviously, this is something you have to pay for, or you have to send away for, and I know it's not, like, in your house. It's maybe a little different than what we're talking about. But these crates are really good, especially for kids. I've not tried the older ones, but they are really well thought out ways to get a kid into engineering or art. I have some that are just strictly art-based. Some of them are just kind of play-based. And they're pretty self-directed. Even my six, well, he's seven now, but even when he was six, my youngest, he was able to sit down, handle the instructions by himself, you know, reading parts of it, and was able to do pretty much the entire crate by himself. And not that we didn't help all of them with their crates, but it's a really good way to engage someone with something creative and something interesting that's hands-on, and they have a thing at the end of it that they get to play with or use or do. You know, sometimes it's art stuff, sometimes it's electronics, sometimes it's mechanics. And so I assume that these older crates are just aged up, more complex versions of basically the same process. That's why I'm bringing it up, because it might be something worth looking into if you really don't have any materials at your house, or maybe you're in an apartment and you don't even have like a shop, but you're looking for something to do with your hands and something to kind of keep your brain going. You might want to look at those, because you can get subscriptions or you can just get a single crate and have those delivered to your house. So that's another option.
Right on.
Now, you mentioned, before we started recording, Jimmy, you mentioned the chopstick challenge.
Yeah, I was kind of joking.
Well, but I know you're joking, but explain that, because you've brought that up over the years a couple of times, and I think that actually might be an joking. Interesting way to, you know, look at what's around you and make something with it.
Yeah, well, a couple of years ago, I can't remember the name of the guy, would always, Summer Woodworking, I think was the name of the channel. Remember him? He would always put out the 2x4 challenge every summer. Going into spring, he did it several years in a row, and I haven't seen it lately. I don't know if it's still going on, but I jokingly said, just kind of as a parody, that we should do the chopstick challenge, and I said it probably like in episode 25 of our podcast, and it was just a joke. But it's now it's the chopstick challenge, and I'm announcing the first official chopstick challenge, stuck in the home, coronavirus chopstick challenge. Semi-annual. No, I'm joking around. But it was just a thing to like look around you. So we talked about it before we started. Oh, by the way, shout out to Joel Bischoff for sending this topic to me. So Joel, thank you very much. But we were kind of already in the ballpark when we got on the phone this morning. But it prompted the conversation, I think. But look around you and think what you could make into anything. And, you know, everyone says, what is your channel? What is your channel? My channel, I always say, is transformation. And if you're a maker, anything is transformation. Take one thing or a material and make it into something else. You know, a couple of months ago, I made a coat rack into a brass hammer. Take this pile of material, make it into something else. And so if you're just going to do the Iron Chef challenge in your workshop, look around you and think, okay, what can I do with this chopstick? No food references, pun intended, but what can I do with this chopstick and make it into something else? What can I do with this piece of scrap and make it into something else? You have a laser cutter, you have a chisel, the same thing. You got a CNC, you got a bandsaw. How can I take this and, you know, maybe make prints? Is always very satisfying, because you could make something in your shop. Very simple. You can make a print plate. You can make a print plate out of a potato. So before everyone starts saying, oh, it'd be nice to make, do the baby voice, we show you the CNC to make a print plate. I remember making print plates out of potatoes. So, I mean, you could do it as simple as that. And it's nice to be able to make a plate, you know, print and give it to friends and whatever. So there's a box up on top of my refrigerator. Now I have three cats that look like Spike now. For a while, we gave one to Willie. Willie was taking care of the girl. And so now the girl is back. She's fixed. So now the three of them can hang out. It's two boys and a girl. And they're like gremlins. They just destroy everything. Everything. So they stop. But there's a box on top of my refrigerator. One is in the box. And the other one is chewing on the corner. You see them in the background. But yeah,
that made me think of like I'm sitting here in front of my bookshelf. I'm like, everybody has some old books that they don't know what to do with, that they want to donate to the Goodwill or whatever. And I found this little, looks like a blog of like things you can do with books, like turning them into lamps, turning out the pages, and making art out of them, framing them.
Make a book safe. You can make a book safe.
Yeah, book safe. Like these are just things that you already have laying around the house. Like I'm looking at. We'll post a link to this blog here, but I'm looking at this and just feeling inspired. Just like people are taking pages and curling them up and then stapling them and then making what looks like roses out of them. It's just some really cool little crafty things you can do with books. Yeah.
Another thing I just happened to think of, unrelated to what you were just saying. Actually, two things. last week, my daughter and my wife started working on my daughter's room. Like, they've been wanting to kind of, she's getting a little bit older, and they wanted to kind of make it look her age, right? And like decorate it a little bit. So, they found this Pinterest image of someone who had taken strips of material, cut it into 1-inch strips. These were like offcuts or, you know, leftover materials. And they cut it into strips, and then they sewed a little loop at the end of them and then ran a rope through them. So it's a bunch of strips hanging kind of like a flag. And then they ordered those in different color order to have a different kind of visual effect. And then they hung it behind her bed as a headboard. And this was a thing that, you know, we have a lot of fabric just around because my wife used to sew a whole lot. So we have a bunch of fabric, and a lot of people who have sewn in the past will have scraps. Even something like that is like, you can make a little art piece, kind of like you're talking about with the books. You can make a little art piece or a wall hanging or a headboard or a whatever just by using the scrap material that you have around. And she found that just by, I think, searching for like girl's bedroom or something in, you know, in Pinterest. So that actually might be a way to go about it, is to go onto Pinterest and just search for a place in your house, see what comes up, and then see if there's an example of someone using leftovers or a material that you wouldn't expect to decorate that thing, you know, because this is also a time that you can spend some time investing in where you live to make it more like you want. Another thing, I just got a friend request from my brother on Duolingo. Now, I've talked about learning Italian recently, but it reminded me that, like, this is an awesome time to learn a new language, and you can do it for free. I mean, so Duolingo doesn't cost anything. Again, not sponsored. But there is a paid tier, but you can go on there and start learning a language for free, and they have just a ridiculous number of, like, more languages than I knew that there were. So, you know, you can go on there and, in your free time, start learning something new. It's not going to cost you anything. And that would be a thing that, you know, you don't have to have any materials. In fact, they even have, I didn't realize this until a couple days ago, they have a web version. So you don't have to have a phone even to learn languages. You can do it through a browser for free. And they have the full same lesson plan. And somebody, actually, I haven't used it yet, but somebody was telling me that they prefer to do it through the browser instead of on their phone because it's a more, I don't know, it's a easier process to go through or something. I haven't tried it yet. But, I mean, you know, something like that is another way to pass the time and still kind of invest in yourself, learn something new. There's a couple of things. Anybody got anything else? Their ideas?
I think, you know, alone time is perfect time. We said it already, but I don't know. This is going to be redundant. But to edit or to play with new technology, I got, you know, you learn a software. This is a cool thing. I got it. Did you guys see this? This isn't sponsored. This whole episode isn't sponsored. But you guys see these new? Yeah, little Insta360 Go camera. It's like a little tiny camera. It's like the size of like a pill case. And the it's amazing. This video quality is not great. It's not like, you know, you're not going to shoot a movie on it. But the most amazing thing about this stupid little camera is like you can go right into your phone and then you could output those. I did output a couple last night and I realized it outputs it with their logo on it. I got to figure out if I can get rid of
it. Yeah, it's in the app. You just got to go turn the little thing off.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I figured that's ridiculous that they make you do that. But it's got incredible Steadicam capabilities.
Yeah, it records a wider field of view than what you see on your screen. So then no matter if the camera, if you're wearing it on your chest, it comes with a little magnet. If it's crooked or whatever, it corrects the horizon and then steadies everything out. So we've been
it's unbelievable. I didn't realize how it did that. Yeah. That's great.
It works best in perfect lighting conditions, especially outdoors. Like in the shop, it's a little
But you got one? Have you been playing with it?
Yeah, I sent you guys a link to it a couple weeks ago. I'm like, hey, check out this camera.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got it from one of the guys at the school where we shot the event had one.
Oh.
And right there, and then he played with it, and then I was like, I just went to Amazon and bought it immediately.
Yeah, so it's a super cool camera. We have another 360 camera too, and their app for editing that stuff is really cool. We, in our last video, what was the video? It was making the dog bed. We used some of the Insta360 Go and the Insta360 camera in there, and it's some really cool advanced stuff.
Yeah, that's. I think I might grab that no camera next. I had the Ryu, but I wasn't really happy with it. I don't know. But I figured they're gonna get better and better. Remember the Ryo? I have one of those, but
I don't know that one. But there's been so many of them; they just
same thing
out all the time. And,
yeah. It's the it was. I think it was the first app that you could edit the 360 into a sequence where you could like. At this key point, be here. At this key point, be there. At this key point, be there. And then you could save the original footage and then rearrange the key points anytime and export it.
Hmm.
So, and the 360, the new 360 Go has the same application. So, you know, like 360 cam. Now we're like in the weeds about cameras, but 360 cam, I still haven't really found the use for it. Everyone's like, oh, it'd be so great if everyone could look around your shop. I'm like, no, I don't want anybody looking around my shop. It's like, wouldn't it be great if anybody could peel your clothes off when they stare at you? I'm like, no, that wouldn't be great.
the cool little thing about the Go, and it's my favorite feature, is you hit the button to record, and then it just records for 60 seconds and stops. So especially if you're like doing stuff with your hands, you don't have to worry about hours of footage. You just... you don't even think about it. You hit the button, then you do your thing, and it's a cool little guy.
So explore new technology. Like I said, now that it's getting warm, I'm going to start playing outside more, which is, you know, one of my favorite things about being up here in the country is just playing in the yard and tending to the chickens. Last night I went in the chicken coop. I threw away 75 eggs that have been sitting in there for the last few weeks. So now that it's warm, I'll start. Because the eggs freeze, and then you know, you never know which ones are good or which ones are bad because I don't get out there fast enough. So now I'm going to start collecting the eggs. Is everybody stocked up on all the supplies they need for the house?
Yeah, you know.
Not really.
I think another thing that you were talking about the eggs, maybe I don't know why it made me think of this, but exercise. Exercise is one of those things that everybody doesn't have time for, right? Or they don't make time for.
Oh, yeah.
All of us, myself included. I slept in late and did not run this morning because I'm lazy. But being home gives you a chance to like set aside 15, 20 minutes a day to do something, you know, whether it's, I don't know, there's all sorts of free like exercise programs on Amazon and like on the Fire TV. I'm sure like Apple TV and all the other systems have something as well. You can do like yoga. They have all sorts of different workout things and they're free. You can do that if you're stuck inside, but also going for a run, spending time outside and, you know, just doing something active for a little while every day. Like it's a really good time to take advantage of your free minutes for that. Cause that is actually going to improve you, right? That is going to help you.
Yeah.
Not just,
going into every spring, I always talk about trying to lose weight, and I always let myself down. So I'm not too explicit this spring. I'm keeping my mouth shut, but I have been exercising. I have been exercising. We started in December. Taylor and I are exercising together as a couple, and it's been going good. And I also incorporated push-ups. I try and do at least 100 push-ups a day or more, in many cases more, but at the very least 100 push-ups a day. And I started, I've been in my life where I could do, you know, a couple hundred pushups at once. I've been there. And, you know, now at 53 years old, I'm going to be 53 in a couple of weeks. And doing pushups starting in November, December, it was a struggle to do 10. And it was crazy. I remember we were somewhere recently, I can't remember, maybe it was Workbench Con. I said to somebody, I'm like, they go, what are you doing? I'm doing my push-ups in the room. And they're like, you do push-ups? You can do push-ups? I'm like, yeah. Like, how many? I'm like, I don't know, like 40 at a time. They're like, no way. There's no way. You're too lazy. There's no way you're doing push-ups. And so Derek was with me. And Derek, he came out of the shower and I was doing push-ups. And he's like, keep going, buddy. I got to film this to everybody.
He showed me a video of you doing push-ups in your hotel room.
I see. That's what it was. He filmed me, but I never showed it. I never saw him bring it up again, but that was funny. He's like, you really are doing it. You're not just talking. I'm like, no, I am. So
I remember you
doing that. And it's great. It helps with upper body strength.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I guess it was December.
But it's regimental. It keeps it. Yeah.
And it spurred me to start doing them too. And I can't do as many as you can for sure. But I'm, you know,
I can do 50 at a time now. And like my goal is to just keep doing that. So I can do 50 push-ups and then take a break and then do another 50. And then I've done my set for, you know, the first half of the day. And then before I go to bed, I usually do another set for the second half of the day. And, you know, I'm going to slowly try and increase that. We'll see. It's just because like you like atrophy and get weak if you don't. Mm-hmm. If you don't, like I used to, me and Dave Welder used to do so much physical work. And since I've gotten on YouTube, I'm like turned into a potato. So you just got to, you know, I pick up heavy things like, you know, 1/5 as much as I used to. So the physical exertion isn't there.
Exercise and working out is such a, it needs to be a habit. It needs to be a routine for it to. Like after you do it for so many weeks, like last October in that area, I had 10 weeks in a row of doing exercise every day. And once you get into it for a few weeks, it just becomes part of your daily routine. It's one of those good habits and you don't even think about it and you just do it. And now is a great time to develop new good habits, because it's time to leave the house and go back to work and do all these things, you're going to find time to do these good habits that's all part of your routine. Maybe you get up 15-20 minutes earlier, or you half of your lunch break is sketching up ideas or working out or just figuring out how to keep those new habits in your daily life.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right about especially exercise being a thing that your body gets used to. I know, like I said, I didn't run this morning, and I will feel it later on today. I will feel a kind of, not anxiousness, but like a antsiness. Like, I need to go do something. I need to because I haven't burned off that energy that I usually burn off in the morning. It's something you get used to. And then if you don't do it for a while, you're going to lose that little spark. But doing a little bit every day really, really does make a difference. You guys have anything else? Any other ideas?
It's a great time to just, you know, get out some scrap paper, start sketching ideas. You know, if you don't know what to sketch or don't know what to make, if you just pull out a piece of paper and a pencil and you just sketch a cabinet, sketch a bookshelf or whatever, maybe that turns into something else. Maybe it turns into this unique box or whatever. Look at a building and try to turn that building into a little box or some sort of, you know, bookshelf. Just start sketching. Use that time to come up with ideas.
Totally. All right. Well, I'm going to be putting links in the show notes to a lot of the stuff that we've talked about for the Steve Martin book and KiwiCo and Duolingo. I'll try to find some free like exercise stuff and I'll try to put a bunch down there. So the show notes for this will be a resource, hopefully, for you if you're looking for something to do. And you can find that at makingitpodcast.com, which we don't talk about the website a whole lot because it's just shows and show notes, but that's where all this stuff lives in case you're interested. All right, we've already done the Patreon. Thank you. Big thank you to them again. So we're going to hop right into a recommendation. You want me to go first this week since I kind of jumped the gun? Sure. Okay. So mine is one that Forby actually found and sent to us yesterday. Not something I would have thought I would have been interested in, but I watched one of the videos and was pretty interested. This guy is doing a Fiero revival. So remember the old Fiero car?
The car?
Yeah. He's completely rebuilding a Fiero. And he's pretty far into it, so I'm not exactly sure. I haven't looked back to see how many videos he's been working on or anything, but it's really well explained. He's explaining all the steps, the stuff that he's taking apart and replacing and why he's doing it, but it has a good pacing to it. And it's kind of cool to see an old car like that I wouldn't have thought would have been worth, you know, I mean, I don't know much about him. I wouldn't have expected that one being worth somebody completely restoring, because I just remember it kind of being a small, cheap car, but he is, and it's cool to see. So I'll put a link to it, and the channel name is escaping me right now. It is, hang on, wait for it. I'm bad at this. It is Ronald Finger is his name. Oh, this is a part 8 of the series so far. So, yeah. Anyway, go check that out. It's pretty interesting. What you got?
Again,
I'm going to mute and cough.
The fabrication series on YouTube. Just
sorry,
I missed something. Jimmy said something. I missed it.
Did I interrupt?
He coughed. Oh no! I said I'm going to mute and cough, and he laughed because I coughed like visibly.
Yeah, the fabrication series on YouTube. It's where I learned all the tricks and tips I needed to do the tube bending. He really goes into how to set up a template that you can use for the rest of your life on your tube bender, but it's way more than that. He does chassis builds. His latest video is mastering aluminum TIG and just stuff for your metal shop. Good stuff. So the fabrication series.
I've always been a history nerd, and this one channel always pops up, and I didn't watch it yet this morning, but I saw it pop up, and I'm anxious to see it. A Brief History of Toilet Paper by The History Guy. So check out The History Guy. He's a college professor. He's got close to 700,000 subs, and he's very likable, fun to listen to, The History Guy. And he just talks about all little moments in history that more than likely would be forgotten. You know, little rebellions and skirmishes in American history and all different stuff. Interesting guy. And also, don't forget to check out the makersforjesse.org is the link to the auction for the frames. Is I think 6 of us or 7 or 10 of us that each made a frame for the Jesse Combs Foundation fundraiser. And I have a video. I know a few other people do have a video as well. So they'll all be linked to the website.
Cool. I will put links to all those in the show notes.
Can I throw in one more recommendation that I recently discovered? This is an actual product from Harbor Freight, but I was at Harbor Freight a couple weeks ago, and I was picking up some like sockets and mechanics tools and stuff, and I saw the Harbor Freight employee loading something up into somebody's car, and it was this table on wheels, and then it had a foot-powered hydraulic lift. And he lifted up this big thing and got the thing into the car. And when he came back in, I'm like, do you guys sell that? And he's like, we do. We have a 500-pound one and a 1,000-pound one. That's the weight capacity. And I immediately bought one. It's one of their more pricier items at $170 before the coupon and all their sales and stuff. But it is so helpful. If you are alone in your shop and you need to move like a big tool to get it up onto a bench, it collapses down to about, I don't know, 6 inches or so, and then lifts up to about desk height, so maybe 30 inches, and it's foot powered, and it's a super cool tool. I modified mine. I cut off the handle with the angle grinder and then put on the release trigger. I welded it down on the bottom so I can use it as a go-kart lift. So I can throw my go-kart up there, lift it up to a nice working height. I might even make a video about that, about how just uses for this lift. So it's really cool. And I couldn't believe, I didn't know this thing existed. And once I saw it, I'm like, I need that right now.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's like a scissor lift table. Oh, they actually have a 6,000 pounds capacity scissor lift hydraulic thing too.
Okay.
This shows like with the car on top of it. That's crazy. I don't know if I would trust it myself, but that's really cool. No, that's awesome. I'll put a link to that one as well. Sweet. Well, I hope everybody's doing well. And it's kind of a weird time for everybody. But everybody listening, I hope you're well, and I hope you take this time to invest in yourself and the people around you, and you know, make the most of it if you can.
Checking in on your family and neighbors.
Yeah, check in on people for sure. And you know, also our community is awesome. Everybody is happy to share information and resource and stuff like that. So I know there's been a lot of kind of like Google Hangouts stuff happening where people will throw one up and then other people just jump in and just to talk shop and kind of check on each other. And that's an awesome thing to do. So don't be afraid to host one of those yourself and just kind of reach out to your immediate circle. Well, makers or not, but, you know, just it's a good way to stay connected to people. So
try something
like that out. All right, you guys got anything else?
But, by the way, I did an episode of Making Money on YouTube with Brandon at Make or Break Podcast. So guys, go check that out if you haven't seen it. I got some good reviews on that. Just talking about how, like, as a beginner and making your way through the ranks of getting a bigger channel and how to navigate through.
There's going to be a lot of links in the show notes.
Sponsors.
Yeah, it's going to be a great resource.
Typing a lot. Cool. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love you guys.